Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through to 14, I draw your attention to this morning. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Made meet for heaven is our subject this morning. Paul is thanking God the Father, but we must carefully observe what it is exactly that Paul is giving thanks to God for, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And as we look at that expression, there are three things in that expression, made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance. There is, first of all, the inheritance itself. Then there is the participation in that inheritance. And then there is the being made meet to thus participate. The inheritance, we considered that the last time. That is what God has for his saints. He has an inheritance. This hope of heaven, that's the great thing that God has for his people, the great things that God has prepared for them that love him. This blessed hope, this land that is fairer than day, this land of everlasting light, the hope of being with Christ, the hope of being in the presence of God, the hope of being with all the saints and with all the holy angels in the world to come. That's the inheritance. And the partaking of it, the saints alone are going to partake of that. Saints are going to heaven. They're going to enjoy it one day. They're going to have fellowship with the King. They're going to share together the enjoyment of everlasting bliss, as it is called in the Bible, entering into the joy of the Lord. They're going to see the King in his beauty. They're going to bask in his radiance, to participate in the rays of his countenance, to follow him whithersoever he leads them, and that he lead them to the fountain of living waters. Wonderful things to participate in. He lead them everlastingly throughout all the paths and highways throughout all eternity. This marvelous participation. God will wipe away all tears. There'll never be sorrow. They'll participate of everlasting joy. They'll be satisfied. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. Their hearts will live forever and they'll praise God forever. They'll be abundantly satisfied, the Bible says, with the fatness of God's house. They'll never want. And he'll bring in new things and they'll enjoy them and participate in them. So there's the inheritance. There's the partaking of it. But you will observe that in this thanksgiving, the emphasis is upon the being made meet. We thank God who hath made us meet to be partakers. That's where the emphasis is. That's where the main point of the prayer and thanksgiving is concentrated. The being made meet. And those are the words I would like you to especially highlight. Made us meet. To be made meet means to be made fit. To be made ready. To be qualified. To be made worthy of heaven. To be prepared. To be made able to participate. And you will observe that God has done this. He has made us meet. God alone has done this. Christians have not done this through themselves. Christians cannot and never could make themselves fit. As sinners, we can never make ourselves fit for heaven. God must do it. God alone. We can't go to heaven by our own fitness. Heaven is a meet place. It's a fit place. But it is only for a meet people. A fit people. The saints. And sinners need to know this. You know, men, they just live blindly through life. They think they'll die and everybody goes to heaven. If they die as they are, they'll be all right. But sinners need to know that that's not the truth. They must not of fitness fondly dream. The sinner has no fitness. He cannot make himself acceptable to God. The sinner would be out of place. In actual fact, if he could get to heaven as he is. You've heard the saying, like a fish out of water. Well, that's what a sinner would be in heaven. It would be cruel to him. He'd be a fish out of water. He hasn't been prepared. He hasn't been made meet to partake of the inheritance. If the unregenerate sinner should get to heaven, it would be like the parable the Lord Jesus Christ told. You remember how at the marriage feast, the king came in to see the guests, and he saw there a man who had no wedding garment on. He wasn't made meet. He wasn't ready. He wasn't prepared. He wasn't really able to go in his own garments. And he was asked the question, how did you come in here having no wedding garment on? And he was left speechless, as all sinners will be in that day. But then the king gave commandment, bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into the outer darkness. He wasn't fit. He wasn't prepared. He wasn't made meet by the enrobing of the wedding garment. The Bible says, there shall in no wise enter into it any that defileth, neither worketh abomination or maketh a lie. You remember when our first parents sinned? What happened? Well, they were driven out of paradise. They were driven out. They were not fit for it anymore. They were driven from the tree of life. They were not fit to participate in it. They were driven from the wonderful participation that they had already been enjoying in paradise. They were driven. They weren't partakers anymore. They weren't fit to be partakers. They were driven out. Not only were they driven out, the Bible tells us that a flaming sword in the hands of the cherubim turned every way to keep the way so that they didn't come back in. They were kept out. They were driven out. They were driven out of the participation. They were driven out of the enjoyment and the fellowship. And they were kept out. The flaming sword of justice kept them out. The flaming sword of justice keeps unfit sinners out. And they can never get back into paradise again as they are. They can't. They were driven out and they can't participate again. Unconverted sinners have to know this. You won't just walk into heaven if you die as you are. All hope gone forever. If you die as you are in your sin, you must be made fit by God's grace. The Lord must qualify you and make you competent and able and fit to enter into the promised inheritance and to be able to participate and enjoy it forever and ever. That's the teaching in this verse. Paul's giving thanks that Christians have been made fit. They've been made meet. You remember whenever Israel crossed into the land of promise? It's very interesting what the Bible tells us about that. But whenever they crossed over into the land of promise, there were two notable things that took place before they began to spread and enjoy the land. The first thing was that they passed through the waters. They crossed the Jordan. They had to go down into the Jordan. Now the Jordan was dried by the mighty power of God. He intervened. But they had to cross the Jordan to enter into the inheritance. And the Jordan was where the Savior received his baptism. He went into the waters. Because he went into the waters for us, we can
Go to the other side. He can participate. What he did in the waters. What he did in his baptism. In the baptism of blood as well as the baptism of water that he received. The life and death and all that Jesus Christ did was necessary for our salvation. And so there is this fact that they crossed the waters, they crossed the river, they crossed the Jordan. They entered through death, because that river picks death. It pictures baptism as well. It pictures our engrafting into Jesus Christ, our union to Him. But there's something else. Every male was circumcised. Had to be all circumcised before they could participate in the land and in the inheritance. You see, in the wilderness wandering, circumcision had ceased. Remember how Joshua said, "Now all the people that came out were circumcised," that is, out of Egypt. But all the people that were born in the wilderness, by the way, they had not been circumcised. Now why had they not been circumcised? Because their parents were unbelieving, that's why. Circumcision isn't naturally administered to Israel. It was administered to those who had faith. But the people in the wilderness were unbelieving. And so their children were not allowed to be circumcised. All those parents died. And the ones who crossed the river were all their descendants, and they were believing. They entered in by faith. But they all had to be circumcised. Every one of them. All the males. And both these symbols, crossing the waters and circumcision, both these symbols are symbolic of the necessity to be born again. To have union to Jesus Christ. To be engrafted into Christ by the Holy Spirit. To have the washing away and the removal of the flesh. The being born again and the entering into the newness of life. And so these things are types and symbols of the need of union to Christ in His baptism and death, or engrafting into the Savior, pictured by baptism and by circumcision. And those who are to be partakers of the inheritance can only be made fit in their union by faith to Jesus Christ in the new birth. Well, earlier on, Paul talks about them being in Christ, verse 2. Faithful brethren in Christ. Verse 4, your faith in Christ, to have faith in Christ Jesus. And then in verse 8, in the Spirit. They're in the Spirit. There's this union to Christ, this union through the Spirit. They were made meet in their union to Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself put it so plainly to Nicodemus, did He not? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You have to be made fit to enter into the kingdom. You have to be born of the water. You have to be born of the Spirit. You have to have this participation in union to Jesus Christ through the new birth to be made fit to participate. And Paul is giving thanks because every Christian who has been made fit for heaven through God's grace. But how? What happened in their lives? How did it come about? Paul doesn't say in verse 12. He just thanks God for making us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. But nevertheless, Paul does want Christians to know how it happened. How it's come about. And so verses 13 and 14 are about that. He wants to make sure the Colossian believers understand how God in grace made them meet to enter into the promised inheritance. He wants to make them aware of that. And so he adds verses 13 and 14 to this thanksgiving. This is for their edification. This is to make sure that they be established in the awareness of how it is that they have been made fit. And so he writes verses 13 and 14.
who has delivered us from the power of darkness. He's made us meet. He's translated us into the kingdom of God. He's made us meet. He's prepared us. He's made us ready. We have redemption through His blood. We're being made meet through Christ. We have the forgiveness of sins. We're being made meet. We're being prepared. We're being made ready for the partaking of the inheritance. He's telling us how God has done it. And this is how the being made fit has come about. And as you look at verses 13 and 14, congregation, it has to be emphasized, it's something that God has done. Who hath delivered us and translated us? It's something God has done Himself. It's a gift of God. It's the Father that's done it. But you will notice, and Paul is very careful to weave this in, you will notice that it's not the Father alone who does it. He's not the only person in the story of the sinner's redemption and the being made meet. There is someone else. There are two persons in the text. You will notice that there are two pronouns. Verse 13, who? And then verse 14, in whom? Two pronouns. But two pronouns with two different antecedents. The pronoun in verse 13 is to one person, the Father, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. This is another person in whom we have this redemption. So there are two persons. There's the Father, and there is His dear Son. This being made meet is not only through the Father. This being made meet is also through His dear Son. So Paul carefully weaves the two persons together. We must know this, congregation. We are Christians. We are Trinitarian, not Unitarian. We recognize plurality of persons in our God. We recognize the Father and also His dear Son. This is important. It is God who makes sinners fit for heaven. But the God who makes sinners fit for heaven is the Trinity, the Triune God, the Father and His dear Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they share the glory of our salvation. And they do so because they are co-equal, co-eternal. And Paul will go on to show this, especially in regard to the person of Jesus Christ in verses 15 and following. They share the glory then of salvation. It is God who makes sinners fit for heaven. And let me say it and make it very plain. That God is not Allah. It is not Allah. It's not a unit God. It's not the God of the Unitarians and the Jehovah Witnesses who make God a unit and who turn Jesus Christ into another God. That's not the God of our salvation. That God is not the God of Jewish Orthodoxy, who deny the Father and the Son. The Deliverer is the living God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the Triune God, the Sacred Three and the Holy One. The three in one, and the one in three. There is no possibility of being made fit for heaven by bypassing the revelation of God, the living God,
in His own dear Son's face revealed. Who is, as verse 15 tells us, the very image of that God. It's God who makes us fit. But He does this in and through the Lord Jesus, the person and work of His dear Son. No fitness without Christ. You will observe that this being made fit is all brought about by the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. Verse 14. In whom, that's the dear Son of God, in whom we have redemption through His blood. That lies at the heart of it all. This is the center. The redemptive work is wrought by blood. Underline that word blood. No being made fit without blood. Redemption through blood. Not any old blood. His blood. The blood of His dear Son. So there's blood in the text. And the text tells us that the redemption is wrought by the blood. This is not the Father's blood. It is the Son's blood. And this blood is not blood flowing in the veins, but blood shed. Blood poured out. It's life blood poured out. Life blood poured out in death. It is the blood of sacrifice. It is the blood of sacrifice that had been depicted in the tabernacle and in the temple for generations, daily and annually, year after year, in the blood-shedding rituals. There can be no being made fit for heaven without sacrificial blood. Without a sacrificial death and without a sin offering. This is basic. This is fundamental. This is foundational in the Christian faith. Paul's getting to the heart of the matter. How we're being made meet. This is essential. A man who is a sinner cannot be made meet for heaven without atoning blood. His blood. Circle the His. Christ's blood. That obtaining all the fitness that we need is by His blood. Now we know blood belongs to a man, doesn't it? To have blood, one must have a body. You can't have blood without a body. And you can't have a body without blood. Or else it's not a living body. And to die, one must have a substance that is capable of dying. That's a body. And God is God, has no blood. For He has no veins. He has no body. God is God, has no body. God as God is pure spirit. But God did something. God did something remarkable. God did something wonderful. He did a marvelous thing in the earth. He did a wonder of wonders in our world. He wrought a great wonder and a great marvel. He became glorious in power and a body He prepared for His Son. The wonder
of wonders.
A body prepared for His dear Son. A humanity. And by His Holy Spirit, He clothed His Son, His dear Son, with humanity. And the Son of God testified to this wonder. Because He said to His Father, "A body hast Thou prepared Me." Nobody ever said that. No man can say that. He's just born, he has a body. But the Son of God can say to His Father, "You've prepared Me a body, Father." He's making His Son fit for earth. He's making His Son fit to redeem man. He is in order to make sinners fit for heaven, making His Son fit for earth to redeem those sinners. There can be no making us meet without making His Son meet. And He made His Son meet by making Him a body. A body. This is wonderful. Christ prepares us a place. And His Father, in order thereto, prepares Him a body. A body. And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. You know how the Bible says that His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh. According to His deity and His divine nature, He was never made, but He was made of the seed of David, according to the humanity, the body, the flesh. The Apostle Paul tells us that Christ is God over all, blessed forever. He is come in the flesh, Christ, who is over all God, blessed forever. And hereby know we the Spirit of God. Hereby know we men are of the truth or not. Hereby we know if any man has truly the Spirit of God in him. Because every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And He is come in the flesh. And in order for us to be partakers of the inheritance, the Son of God had to be partaker. He had to be partaker of flesh and blood. He had to participate in that. If we are to participate in heaven. The miracle of miracles, we call this the incarnation. It was so necessary. If we are to be made meet to enter into the life of God, God must enter into the life of man. But the incarnation is not an end in itself. The incarnate one must live and he must die. He must give himself, his body and blood. He must give this body and blood that was prepared for him. He must give it as a ransom for the many. He must die for our sins. And sinners can only be made meet through this Redeemer, through the Incarnate One, whose blood was shed to redeem men. And so in whom alone we have redemption through His blood. This is the Christian message. This is what we have to tell men. This is what we have to tell Muslims. This is what we have to tell Jews.
This is what we have to tell professing Christendom. Because in professing Christendom there is a spirit of Antichrist working in Christendom that denies this fundamental. Our fitness is from the Father, through the Son, and by the Holy Spirit. From God and God alone. There is no one else. There is no one able to make us fit. There is no angel, no saint. There is no mere man. There is no priest. There is no other person other than the three persons in the Godhead who can make sinners fit. There is no one else. And at the heart of this being made fit is the incarnation. The body and the blood and the offering of that body and blood on the cross of Calvary. This is what Paul gives thanks for. Now there are three things that make sinners unfit and unable to experience heaven. They are referred to in the text. The first is darkness. The sinner is in the atmosphere of darkness. The sinner is under the power of darkness. And he cannot see. He cannot see heaven. He cannot see how to get heaven. He can't see the glory of heaven. He can't see the God of heaven. He can't see the mediator and the ladder to heaven. He's in darkness. He can't see. He's under the power of darkness. Remember how Paul said to the Ephesians, you were sometimes darkness. It wasn't even that they were under darkness. They were darkness themselves. Their hearts were darkness. Their minds were darkness. Now, praise God, you're light in the Lord. And you have to walk as the children of light. But sinners are shut up in darkness. And in the bondage of sin. And they're the children of wrath. And they're held captive by the devil at his will. They're ignorant in the blindness of their darkness. And not only ignorant, but they're willfully ignorant. They don't want to know the truth. They don't want to pursue the truth. They want to avoid the truth. They want to bury the truth. They don't want to be challenged by the truth. They want to abide in darkness. In the realm where God's people cannot abide. But we have to walk in the light. As God is in the light. And so they have this moral blindness. And they do the works of darkness, being filled with unrighteousness and wickedness and maliciousness and all kinds of things. So there's a darkness. And this darkness shows their unfitness for heaven. They have to be brought out of that power of darkness. And that's only through Christ. But not only is there darkness that makes them unfit, there's powerlessness. They need to be delivered from the power of darkness. The darkness is powerful and it's greater than the power of human will. And sinners have this inability in the darkness. They can't believe. They don't want to believe. They can't comprehend. It's impossible for them to see. They can't make themselves see. A blind man can't make himself see. A deaf man can't make himself hear. A lame man can't make himself walk. Sinners are powerless. Until God delivers them and redeems them through Jesus Christ and gives them the new birth experience. Powerlessness, darkness and powerlessness. And there's something else, there's sinfulness. They need the forgiveness of sins. And whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. There's no meat for heaven without forgiveness. The sinfulness of man's a problem. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. Sinfulness of man's a problem. He's not meat because of his sinfulness. He's not meet because of the stain of sin on his life. He's unfit. He can't enter in his sinfulness. He needs a cleansing. He needs a forgiveness. He needs to be enclothed and enrobed with a suitable garment of righteousness. And this is only provided in Jesus Christ and his redemptive work. And so the Father has brought his Son into the world, sent him to accomplish deliverance and to bring about this translation from the one domain into the other domain, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. And this redemption, to do the redemptive work and to set the sinner free through the blood of Christ, and this forgiveness, they've been made meet by their deliverance through Christ. They've been made meet by their translation into his body through Christ. They've been made meet by his redeeming work. They've been made meet by the forgiveness of all their sins through the grace of Jesus. Thank God, Paul says. You've been made meet. And all this is done through Jesus Christ alone. Neither is there salvation in any other. And there's no meekness for heaven found in any other person or any other place. All in and through Christ. It's wonderful, isn't it? That's the gospel. And all you have to do is take him. Just take him. All you have to do is just come to him. Christ. All you have to do is just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. To embrace him, to encounter him in his promise, and to take hold of him by the arms of faith, and to say, Lord Jesus, thou art my Lord. Thou art my Savior. I am such a sinner. But I trust you and I need you and I want you to make me fit for heaven. Just you, Lord Jesus. When thou comest into thy kingdom, Lord Jesus, remember me. Remember me, the sinner. Let us pray.